Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to today's podcast edition of Caffeine for the Soul. And I'm going to continue the theme of what is caffeine for the soul today. And specifically, the kind of juxtaposition of something as profane as caffeine with something as sacred as the soul. With the blend between the spiritual and the secular. And why, for me, where the spiritual meets the secular, where the sacred meets the profane, is the most interesting and inspiring place for us to look. So in August of 1990, I did the Tony Robbins certification program in NAC, which was kind of his like version of NLP. And it was on the Big Island in Hawaii. And the training was insane. We would go till midnight, sometimes 2 a.m. And somehow, a group of Australians that I ran into on the thing talked me into coming with them for a sunrise hike to see the Kilauea volcano. And this is an active volcano on the Big Island, or at least it was active then. And apparently there were these amazing lava fields, and it seemed like a good idea at the time. So after about a 1 a.m. finish, we set out at 4 a.m., and I almost fell asleep and kind of almost drove off the road. But then we got there and we started to hike. And if you've never hiked on a lava field, it's not fun. It's not smooth. And so there were twisted ankles and bruised knees. And after a time, though, we got to a point where we could see a glowing amber river in the distance. And that kind of perked us all up. And so we picked up our pace. And we got to a place where we saw something. I've never seen anything like this before or since. So there was a point where the river of lava fell off the edge of a 100-foot cliff into the sea. And every minute or so, a wave would come along, and it would smash into the walls of the cliff. And when the water met the fire, pillars of steam rose up out of the sea. And then in the background, as all this is going on, the sun starts to rise and paint the sky. And all of us just sat there in awe. I have never seen something more raw, more beautiful, more powerful, more awesome in the biblical sense of the word. I didn't think of this at the time, but when I was writing about it recently, I came across an Einstein quote. And he said that to sense that behind anything that can be experienced, there is something that our mind cannot grasp and whose beauty and sublimity reaches us only indirectly and is a feeble reflection. This is religiousness. In this sense, I am religious. And on that sunrise, on that day, all of us were religious. And I don't know whether those guys were brought up religious. I don't know whether I was brought up religious, really. I wasn't particularly. But on that morning, all of us were religious. I don't know if you know the song Walking in Memphis, but there's a great line where Mark Cohn is playing in this honky-tonk, and the woman whose band he's joined goes, "Are you a Christian, child?" And he says, "Ma'am, I am tonight." And that image is what comes to mind when I think about the human potential of the waterfall of lava hitting the waves of the sea and the pillar of smoke and the paint in the sky. And there's an invisible river of energy that runs through us all the time. So it's called the life force. It's called ki, chi, mana, prana. The dictionary calls it a spiritual force that is held to emanate from or give animation to living beings. So it's that which animates us. And like the river of lava, it carries on in its tireless movements towards the sea, regardless of whether or not it's being witnessed. That river would have done its thing. It was doing its thing before we got there. It was doing its thing after we left. And it flows in us when we're warmed and lit up by its light. And it flows in us when we're blind to or ignorant of its presence. Now, we don't just have that. We have a mind and we have a will. And our will can seem indomitable and powerful like the ocean. And our personal power ebbs and flows like the rise and fall of the tide. But there's something magnificent about seeing an athlete squeeze out that last burst of speed or strength from their body, that great player just finding another level at the end of the game, a leader driving their team onto victory through nothing more than that will to win. But no matter how powerful that strength of will is, and no matter how beautiful and powerful spirit is, the most magnificent moments in life always seem to occur when humanity and divinity collide. So we dig deep in ourselves to make the leap, but once we're in the air, something beyond us, something beyond our own strength and power, lifts us higher, carries us forward, and we allow ourselves to be harnessed by this deeper river of energy, and we surpass our previous best, and we let the creative river flow through our practice skills, and great art is created, whether it's on a canvas or on a basketball court or on a football field or in a boardroom. We allow our intellect to be yoked to an impersonal intelligence behind life. And breakthroughs occur in science, in medicine, in psychology, in business. There's a great TED Talk called Your Elusive Creative Genius by Elizabeth Gilbert, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love. And she shares this story. Centuries ago in the deserts of North Africa, people used to gather for these moonlight dances of sacred dance and music that would go on for hours and hours until dawn. They were always magnificent because the dancers were professionals and they were terrific, right? But every once in a while, very rarely, something would happen and one of these performers would actually become transcendent. And I know you know what I'm talking about because I know you've all seen at some point in your life a performance like this. It was like time would stop. And the dancer would sort of step through some kind of portal, and he wasn't doing anything different than he'd ever done 1,000 nights before, but everything would align, and all of a sudden he would no longer appear to be merely human. He would be lit from within, and lit from below, and all lit up on fire with divinity. In spiritual writing, in spiritual teaching, this marriage of sense and soul is sometimes called the radiant mind. That space where the oneness of life is localized in the separateness of the individual. The divine energy brings the human golem to life, and what gets created is somehow far more than the sum of its parts. In more practical terms, we rest in the peace of God while engaging in the pleasures of the flesh, enjoying both peace of mind and a nice piece of real estate overlooking the sea. This is, for me, the point of creation. Where the water of life meets the fire of spirit, and something never before seen comes into the world. It's the moment when the formless becomes form, and something new emerges from the fertile void. When we dance between the spiritual and the material, we experience the best of both worlds. We're neither disembodied spirits attempting to avoid the bumps and bruises of life in a body, nor hopeless creatures made of clay all alone in a bleak and unforgiving landscape. We become the fulfillment of Teilhard de Chardin's dictum that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, not avoiding one. So this is as close as I'm going to get to a mission statement, to a mission statement for these podcasts. To wake people up to both their humanity and divinity, providing rest for weary minds and caffeine for the soul. Have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.